Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Get ready for some fun for the next 2 hours because it's Flannel Panel. The Flannel Panel's back. That's where we get together, we wear flannel shirts, and we talk about the news of the world from a Catholic perspective. Our guests are Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, and Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. Hello, Chris Check.
Cy, I'm glad to be here. And Joe is an apologist at Catholic Answers, but not exactly here at Catholic Answers.
Oh, well, that's true. Sometimes he's here. He was here the other day.
I like it when he's here. He's fun to have around. But he's in Kansas, and I'm going to be in Kansas this weekend.
I don't want to have to explain all of how the geography works. I'm actually in Missouri right now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Don't explain geography to us on the radio. First of all, because I won't understand it. Second of all, because it's geography. Joe Heschmeyer, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure. I'm happy to be here, even remotely.
Isn't it weird that here kind of does mean something different now that we can all be in a room together on video?
Yeah.
I'm going to blow your guys' minds. This is going out over radio waves and the internet.
What's even happening right now?
Here is a very relative concept.
All right. So what we do on the Flannel Panel, as I said, is we talk about the news from a Catholic perspective. So many things happening in the world. First thing, I did not see any like negative updates about the Pope's health today. Did either of you see anything about it? It seems that he's in the same.
There were rumors there was slight improvement. It's hard to know with the Vatican press office, to tell you the truth.
I mean, it sounded like slight improvement. So he might be getting a little bit better. On the other hand, I actually had a doctor's appointment today, and the doctor was like, you don't want somebody at that age in the hospital for that long. And then he was telling me what would happen, like, in a U.S. context. And I had to explain to him, like, yeah, but this is Italy. I was in seminary at the same time. A guy, thanks be to God, he was a former paratrooper. He was on retreat, and the trail he was on a mountainside gave out. And he fell what would have been to his death for anybody else. But because of his particular training, he was able to survive, but it shattered his legs.
Oy.
But then they took him to an Italian hospital, and at least the way the story came down to me, partly through him, partly secondhand, it sounded like they were way more humanizing of him in the Italian hospital, but they mostly just like massaged his feet and were nice to him, whereas for the actual medical care, he had to be like medevaced all the way to the U.S.
We have Italian listeners, you know.
Let them call in and see if they disagree. Well, no one is more critical of Italians than Italians.
There were a lot of jokes when Pope John Paul II was shot that the miracle wasn't that he survived the bullet, but that he survived the Italian hospital.
I say this in all genuineness. We know what certain things mean. Like when we talk about someone being in critical condition in an American context, that has very particular meaning. And I think one of the things that makes it difficult to know what to make of the Pope's condition is where sort of having to translate two different medical systems, you know.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
U.S., they really encourage you to get out as soon as you can. Like you have a baby, and they're, you know, by the time you're done pushing, you're pushing your way out the revolving door.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's just okay. Well, see you. Your insurance doesn't cover more than 32 minutes or whatever. And that's just not the case everywhere. So all that's to say, I don't know what to make of a long hospital stay.
It's not good.
It would be very bad in an American context. Oh. It may not be as bad in an Italian one,
right.
But I don't know.
Chris?
But hospitals are a place where there are sick people.
Yeah.
And if you,
right.
It's not a good place to hang around. So, for example, if you've just had a baby, it's good to get out of there if you can.
Yeah.
There was an old joke among seminarians many years ago, and in fact, when you hear it, you'll know how old it is, but who do you see if you get sick in Italy? And they would say Dr. TWA.
Get on the plane and go home.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, kids, TWA used to be an airline.
That's right.
Back when flying was fun. And a doctor that I know said in an 88-year-old, a pneumonia in both lungs is almost always a death sentence. But he said not always. So, you know, like they always end it like, hey, I'm not saying he's going to die, but it does seem quite serious. It seems very
serious.
Yeah, I mean,
certainly the takeaway should be that we should be praying for our Holy
Amen.
Father.
Amen. And, amen to
and
that.
And it's a good reminder of his humanity. I know sometimes we can be critical of things we disagree with him on, and including, I think, all of us here. But we don't want to lose sight of the man, his humanity, and his, you know, this is someone trying to follow Jesus Christ who is now facing a very difficult trial. So both as our spiritual father and as our brother in Christ, he's worth praying for.
And Amen. If this is, if these are his final moments, we want him to make a holy death.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about that, Chris. What does that mean?
To make a holy death?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, no, it's, just like
I,
it sounds.
I know what it means. I want our listeners like it, to know. Wink, wink.
Yes, to be prepared to meet your maker, to die, well, first of all, in the state of grace.
Uh-huh.
Right? But then I would say additionally disposed or freed from connection even to venial sin, if possible, and to have your heart and mind focused on eternity. How would you describe a holy death, Joe?
Yeah, to die in friendship with God and yeah. purified of any attachment to sin. Yeah. That's it. You know,
we want
to
die. That's why he's an apologist.
Tell me if this is neurotic or if there's a theological or faith problem that I have with dying. I'm not at all concerned with meeting my maker. I'm concerned with the fact that he's going to tell me the truth about myself. I do not look forward to that part of it.
This is one of my major problems with marriage. Is when I'll ask my wife, like, how does this look? And she'll tell me the truth.
Yeah.
How about in preparation for that, Cy, Joe and I sit you down periodically
and tell me the truth about myself?
Yeah, with that.
That's my point is I'm spending my whole life avoiding it.
By the time you'd be all ready to go.
You could straighten me out and get me ready for to face Jesus, who actually knows
Jesus
the truth?
Jesus is going to say, thank you, Cy Kell, for He's all the good work
thank you.
That you did to bring souls to me. No, he is going to say that to you.
Really?
Sure he is.
Oh, gosh, I would be like, first of all, Jesus, let me just say I am so relieved that this is how this is going.
Okay, now wait a minute. He is going to say something about McDonald's and
Diet
Coke.
I support a lot of workers, Chris. I'm supporting the economy. All right. I didn't want to tell you guys about this part, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to spring it on you now. There is a story I want to cover with you, an important story, maybe the most important story of our times right now. The Academy Awards is on Sunday. And first of all, will you be watching the Academy Awards?
No.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be driving back. I'm going to debate James White in Arkansas on Saturday.
All
and
right.
I'll be driving back to Kansas City Sunday. And if the road conditions are good and the driving goes smoothly, I might try to catch dinner with one Mr. Christopher Check. But that'll just depend.
Oh, actually, that's not going to happen, Joe, because my plane leaves at 2.
Why did you invite me to dinner? You're a monster.
Wait a minute. We you already told me you wouldn't be able to make it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Can you guys stop making plans on the radio?
Here's
my point about the Academy Awards.
It
used to be a big deal, the Academy Awards. People watched it. I don't think anybody watches it anymore. So what I wanted to do was I'm going to tell you the 10 movies that are nominated for Best Picture, and I'm going to ask if you saw them, and if you did not see them, have you ever even heard of them?
Okay. I'm actually extremely excited about this
because you think you saw some of them?
I became obsessed with one of them that I have not seen
right.
because of how hilariously bad it seems to be from all of the reviews.
All right, I think I know which one it is, so I'll start with that one. One of the 10 movies nominated for Best Picture is Emilia Perez.
Yes.
You've heard of this, Joe? I believe it's a touching drama about a drug lord who becomes transitions from being a man to a lady and then becomes nicer because he's a lady.
Let me pitch it. A Frenchman makes a movie.
Yeah.
About the cartels in Mexico and announces proudly that he did no research about this. So it is all these paper-thin stereotypes and tropes about Mexico. And there's this horrible, murderous drug lord, and he decides he needs to become his true self by having them mutilate him.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that he was becoming his true self. I thought he was hiding from the law. So
he becomes all nice and serene because
now he's late.
Everything you need to know are I mean, it's the level of analysis you'd expect of like a B-rated stand-up, where it's like men are like this and women are like this. People like from Mexico are like this, and people who call themselves trans are like that. I mean, it's that level of analysis.
Yeah.
But it was being treated very seriously by the Academy as this like brilliant, provocative, thoughtful film. And oh, by the way, it is unnecessarily and badly a musical, but all of the music is really bad.
I didn't know any of this. I didn't know it was a musical. Have you seen it, Chris? Did you watch it? Did you and Jackie head out?
This is the first time.
This is the first time you're hearing of it?
Yes. Well, I think I heard about the
All right, the second of the 10 movies, A Complete Unknown. Have you seen it?
Oh, that's the movie about Bob Dylan?
That's the Bob Dylan one. I saw it.
I wanted to see that. I have not seen that.
I actually really enjoyed it.
I've heard only good things.
I really enjoyed it.
John Sorensen liked it.
And I hope that it wins. And Timothée, how do you say?
He's in The Bear.
Timothée Chalamet. I don't know how you say it. He was fine. He was just great. The actors were wonderful in it. It was just a really good old fashioned good movie. Conclave. Have any of you heard of this?
Another one where it's unnecessarily pushing transgenderism. Kind of a weird theme we got going
on. Don't ruin
it
for
people. But I guess
people
know what the Academy likes.
It's such a clever ending. Don't ruin it for people.
I feel bad about Conclave because it has a lot of really first-rate actors. Stanley Tucci is a fantastic actor.
Did you see it?
No.
Did you see it, Joe?
No.
No.
I saw it. I can't believe it. I've seen several of these movies. I saw it, and again, the acting is magnificent.
Oh, he's a talented actor.
It's the whole thing. It's just magnificent. It's the problem is the script. It's just ridiculous.
You know who had the best take on that movie?
Who?
Cardinal Sean O'Malley.
What'd he say?
Because he was like, yeah, I was actually in a conclave and they're not like this. Oh. It's like, oh, well, what a great,
he's cheating in his review.
Not many people get to drop that.
I was in a conclave. They're not. Yeah. All right. Nickel Boys. Either of you seen it?
No.
Ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
No.
All right. I have no idea what it's about. We're moving on. I'm Still Here. Have you seen it or heard of it?
No.
That's why it was nominated for Best Picture, because nobody normal has seen it or heard of it.
I saw Ford versus Ferrari.
Wasn't that good? That's like the last good movie they made.
It was a great Go America movie. If you really want to get your jingo going on America.
And then he took his foot off the gas, and he was trying to be a team player, and then he suffered for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie was... That was hard. Like, I mean, it was a great movie, it's but true, like though. Seeing what happened was that was rough. And it's based on a true story.
I'm trying to go through this year's movies. You guys pick a movie from like 1943. When was that made?
I think about 10 years ago. Oh, okay. I saw a movie made in 1942 recently. It was superb.
What was it?
It was called Ends Well the Day or The Day Ends Well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's an Italian realism meets British kind of twee. About some Germans who masquerade as English soldiers and take over a village.
Are there any French in it?
Went the Day Well?
We've left the French out.
Went the Day Well.
Went the Day Well.
Went the Day Well. It's based on a short story by Graham Greene.
Highly
recommend this film.
Directed by a Brazilian, it's a British war film.
Yeah, but it's kind of it's Italian realism.
Is there any transgender in it? I'm only seeing transgender movies.
It turns unusually violent for a 1942 picture.
All right, let's go back to the year 2025 on Sunday night. This movie will also be up for the Best Picture, The Substance. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it?
Accidentally, no.
No. Oh, it's very funny, Joe.
He made an accidents and substances joke. Sort of a joke.
See, that's one you could do a trans substance.
I would like to
be just the kind of trans that Hollywood does.
Yeah. Demi Moore stars in it.
Oh, this is the one where she's her other self or something.
Yeah.
She's her older self, or she makes a deal with her younger self.
And apparently she's very, very good in it. So I don't know. But how about this one, Dune Part 2? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever heard of it? Dune Part 2.
Oh, yeah. Dune is excellent. I don't know if you know this, but all of the
Dune's
young people in the office,
the guy that wrote him,
all of the what?
Kind of obsessed with Dune.
Who's obsessed with Dune?
Like all the younger guys in the office.
Oh, here in the office? Well, they are. Yeah, one of them is actually cheering right now from the other. Yeah, I saw that one. It was very good. It was a little disappointing in a few aspects, but it was very, very good.
I could have done without Zendaya's character, if I'm being honest. She didn't fit the kind of feel for the movie. Like the girl boss doesn't really make sense in that world, but neither here nor there.
The novel, the novelist, is a Catholic, right?
Isn't Frank Herbert?
Yeah. I think he's pretty anti-religious.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. He and Tolkien, Tolkien hated his work, if memory serves.
Uh-huh. All right, how about this one?
He's kind of cynical.
I don't know why I thought that.
How about this movie? Have you heard of it? Have you seen it? Wicked.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
I have no intention of seeing it.
Okay,
Something
Anora.
Wicked did not come this way.
Ray Bradbury.
Anora.
No.
Yeah. All right, that's one everybody thinks is going to win, by the way. The Brutalist.
I
read a review
it,
of that.
This movie
morning.
Has something every movie should have in it. I have not seen this movie, but I know from word of mouth that it has something every movie should have in it. As a 61-year-old man, I can tell you, every movie should have this. I'm an expert, and every movie should have it. An intermission.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Whatever that happened to the intermission? I can't make it through a movie. I haven't made it through a movie in 33 years. The last movie I made it through was The Lion King.
Did it have an overture?
The Italians will put intermissions in movies that don't have them.
Good for the Italians.
Like, yeah. It's called an intervallo. You put it in wherever.
You go get
a
coffee.
And so you'll be watching a movie midway through a scene. Let's be like, yeah, everybody stop, get some concessions, go to the bathroom.
I really think this would help movie attendance if they would just go back to putting an intermission in movies. So, all right. So I saw three of those. I saw three of the movies that are up for Best Picture this year. So I feel like I'm better than both of you.
I saw zero.
I've seen one, yeah.
Which one did you see, Joe? Dune?
Dune.
Dune Part 2. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get right back to the real news of the day from a Catholic perspective with Joe Heschmeyer and Chris Check. Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN Radio is growing. Are you an experienced radio producer looking for an opportunity to help forward Mother Angelica's mission of evangelization? We need a passionate, multi-skilled, talented professional who can manage all aspects of producing world-class radio programming. You could be the newest member of the EWTN Radio family. If this is you or someone you know, email a resume and cover letter, including salary requirements, to ewtn.com/employment.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, our guest. Joe Heschmeyer, apologist extraordinaire, also our guest. It's the flannel panel. We're all wearing our flannel shirts. We finally, 9 years into this, however long, we finally are starting to all wear our flannel shirts to the flannel panel.
I'm very proud to say I remembered an hour before the show.
You did?
And went home and got a flannel shirt.
Good for you, Joe. You're really growing up.
Thanks.
All right. This is the one we say that from a Catholic perspective. I want your Catholic perspective on this because I have a bee in my bonnet about this. And sometimes I get a bee in my bonnet about stories. But I don't know if y'all read this, but it made
we did because you sent it to us.
Well, did you, Joe?
That's very generous.
Five minutes before the show.
I did not send it 5 minutes before the show. I sent them last night.
Okay.
And don't even pretend that Joe reads this.
I clicked on it, and then I got distracted.
All right, but you're very modern. Indigenous man from isolated Amazon tribe makes contact with the outside world. Papers and websites around the world had this story. A young man from an isolated indigenous tribe who approached a riverine community in Brazil's Amazon returned voluntarily to his people shortly after, authorities said. The encounter occurred at 7 p.m. local time on Wednesday in Bela Rosa, a community along the Purus River in the southwestern Amazon. The man had two logs with him and seemed to be seeking someone to help him start a fire. They tried to show him how to use a lighter, and he couldn't do it. And then he left without any trouble. I just want to know, do either of you have any reaction to this story at all?
It's kind of fascinating. I mean, so I'm reminded of a different set of cases, but just go ahead, Chris.
Well, evidently there are tribes that the government of, is this Brazil?
Brazil, yeah.
Yeah. Makes a deliberate effort not to be in contact with.
Well, yeah.
To keep isolated. It may be a better way to describe this.
Well, it's called voluntary isolation, but I think there's a legitimate question about how voluntary it is. And it's actually, there are voluntarily isolated tribes, and we say tribes because these are people who are living at a tribal level in India, Mali, I think, in various countries in South America. And
there's two problems here.
Okay, please, nobody ever wants to talk about the problems, and I see big problems with this.
Well, first of all, there's just the problem at the natural level.
Which is?
I'm assuming that this particular tribe is not especially, I don't know what the word is, advanced, and they might benefit from some advancements that have been made over the past, I'm going to go with 4,000 or 5,000 years. Well, for example, in things like literacy, mm-hmm. Written languages, medicine, monogamy. Although I don't know, maybe it's monogamous. I suspect it probably isn't. But then there's the supernatural problem.
This is the one that bugs me.
Well, there's unbaptized people in the age after Jesus Christ has come and said, go and baptize everyone.
And we treat that like that's a good thing. We say, oh, don't bother them. And we have a direct command from Jesus, go and make disciples of all the nations. He didn't say, except for these people that you treat as if they're children that don't have a right to know the truth about me.
Brazil is a Portuguese colony, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, it was founded by Christians.
I don't think it's still a Portuguese colony.
Well,
for the record.
Okay, in a lot of ways, the United States is still a British colony, I think.
Okay.
We don't lose our colonial the characters that we got.
Yeah,
from
we're
the,
still part of the British Empire. We just run it now.
I want to hear the calls for that take.
<That's>
so go ahead.
Please, especially British. First of all, if you're British or Italian, not your day today, but give us a call. Go ahead, Chris.
They just moved, you know,
over here.
Greenwich over
the
to
the center of gravity
DC,
moved to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, exactly. So from Greenwich or wherever it was. So, but you know, this is a country that was founded by Christians.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, missionaries and Jesuits and Franciscans.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There's a very serious problem with, like, this young man coming and making this contact in that we know what happens because we've seen it when European diseases are transferred to vaccinated and unprepared.
They held him for a time to see if.
But they didn't hold him. They follow up. They do like this public health thing where they check everybody that had any contact with him,
right?
And monitor him. But then they monitor the area to make sure nobody tries to make contact with this. It looks like a kid to me. He's a young, very young man.
So they're sort of like zoo animals. They're being treated.
That's why we're treating them like animals. Yeah.
Like they're a novelty exhibit.
And there's a lot of evidence that they want stuff. Like they see airplanes flying over. Like, first of all, almost all of
they
the
don't
pictures,
know how bad air travel is.
Yes, they have no idea about TSA. But all of the pictures you see of uncontacted people are them looking up in the sky because it's a drone flying over them or something where they're like, well, what's that? And then
it
so you
becomes
take a picture,
a deity. And
they're all painted red looking up. And the fact is, like, the honest truth is some of these tribes are quite violent. We have, like, if I as a parent said, look, I'm going to go out to the woods and raise my kids completely separate from society, from all healthcare, from all education, where you would say that's a crime. But when governments treat people this way, as if they're some kind of children that, now, I, on the other side of that, there is this problem
like
of colonialization. We should not colonize these people.
No, but it's sort of this anthropological novelty.
Yeah, right.
That we want to study.
Like, they're not people with immortal souls.
Right,
like, they're,
right,
like,
right.
they're, like, some kind of Highland gorilla or something. Mm-hmm. They're people.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know the John Allen Chow, I think, case from 2018? missionary. He's an evangelical Protestant.
Oh, that got killed in the Bible.
North Sentinel Island, and they murder him.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody demonized him. I mean, this...
They murdered him!
26-year-old guy who is murdered for trying to preach the gospel. And the Darwin Awards in 2018 mocked him and gave him an award for how stupid he was for dying. And you just think, like, wow, glad you weren't around when the apostles were getting martyred.
Right.
Like, either we think people are worth evangelizing even if they're hostile, or we don't. But if we don't, then I don't think we deserve the title of Christian. And I think there was actually... I'm going to figure out how to say this in a way that doesn't feel like just a political commentary. We're worried about the risk of disease more than we're worried about the risk of damnation when it comes to the North Sentinelese, when it comes to indigenous people in Brazil, and maybe in some contexts, all of ourselves. That we'll shut down all the churches if we're worried that we might get disease.
Cowardice is
culpable.
Well, I happen to agree with the people who say we shouldn't take their land. We shouldn't even infringe on their land. We should be extremely careful about disease and contamination. But they have a right to education. They have a right to material goods. They have a right to health care. And they have a right to the gospel,
yes,
crying out loud. All right, right back with more Flannel Panel on Catholic Answers Live.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
From its earliest days, Catholic faith has been lived by a yearly cycle of feasts and seasons. The new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, Feasts of Our Fathers, is a one-stop companion for praying and meditating through the holy days and seasons of the church with help from the most ancient Christian people. Don't just read about the early saints, pray with them. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers now at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This final panel today, Chris Check is here. Joe Heschmeyer is here. We're talking about all the news from a Catholic perspective. Chris was telling us at the break that Emil Capon, the military chaplain.
Yeah, he just climbed the ladder, the ladder of canonization a little bit.
So he's now,
I think he's venerable now.
Venerable. You start out as servant of God, right? That's where you are? And then... and then you go to venerable, and then blessed, if you can pull off some miracles, and then, I mean, pull off is probably not the correct modifier for miracle, but and then saint. Am I getting this right? I want one of you to tell me yes or no.
Well,
am I getting it right?
We have a professional apologist here on the show.
Servant of God, venerable, blessed, saint, and for the last two steps, miracles are needed. It's a little bit different in cases of martyrs, as in the case of Father Capon. So I don't remember exactly how many miracles at which stages.
Okay.
But when they open your cause, you're given the title Servant of God. They then review everything they can find that you've ever written or said to see what kind of life that you led. I mean, obviously people convert, so they're not looking for like salacious early pre-conversion sort of stuff, but they want to make sure you're actually as holy as you seem to be. And that can, apparently that can be quite a difficult task in the modern age with, you know, email and everything else. But fortunately, of course, Father Capon was before all that. And so then after they've determined that you lived a life of virtue, then you are declared venerable, which is where we are right now. And then they'll be looking for miracles performed through his intercession that have no medical explanation. And if they can find you, because basically we've done what we can do on the natural end here. We've said this person objectively appears to be a saint, but, you know, things are known only to God. Someone could look good on the outside and not be holy on the inside. So that next step is something that we rely upon God's grace, that he performs miracles through the intercession of such and such a venerable. And then this helps to have them declared blessed and then eventually have them declared saints. You know, the process of what's called beatification and then canonization.
The miracle stuff is really fun because the Vatican is very critical of miraculous claims. And I think it's always to our benefit to stress how critical, like it's not like the old Guido Sarducci thing, and one of them was a card to trick.
A very dated reference. But yeah,
Guido Sarducci.
Some people are gonna.
He got arrested once. You know, 50th, in Rome.
He what?
He got arrested in Rome because he was dressed as a priest because he was Father, and yeah, that's illegal.
Oh, wow.
In Rome, to if you're not a priest, to be dressed as a priest. So
I'm
do you know who Guido Sarducci is? Do you know who I'm talking
about?
Well,
you know, February or this month was the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually think it's not a very funny show. And there have been moments when it kind of came back a little bit.
Yeah.
But the first not ready for time, primetime players.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. That was the best.
It was.
I'm gonna go out on a limb.
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy's the only one that you go. He's what you could say. Give me the 10 best, and it doesn't matter who else is on the list. You know, Eddie Murphy's on the list.
Yeah, I would say so too. But can I say something else about Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
From a
Catholic perspective, because we're doing the news from a Catholic perspective.
I'm going to.
Right.
It's mostly a very trashy show and not funny, but it does have something to do with Catholic Answers.
Yeah.
I think Catholic Answers is the Saturday Night Live of Catholic apostolates. Can I tell you what I mean by that?
Actually, yes, I
stole this from Joe Heschmeyer.
Oh, was this Joe's idea?
Okay. Yeah, I did.
It still seems like a good idea, though.
It's because the cast does change over time.
All
you know something?
All right.
We are coming up on 50 years.
Right.
2029. So we're a little less well-known than Saturday Night Live, I think.
But a little younger. We got time to catch up.
Yeah, we've got 4 years to catch up, or five, yeah. But in 2029, we'll be 50 years. And the cast has changed, but it's still the number one.
Okay, so from that original Catholic Answers cast, which one of them is Chevy Chase? I think it would be Patrick Madrid. I think Patrick Madrid is Chevy Chase.
I mean, everything I hear about Chevy Chase, he is not easy to work with. Behind the scenes. So maybe
well, I didn't mean it that way. I don't.
The least likely person.
I didn't mean it that way.
Patrick Madrid is a very lovely, easy guy to work with.
I know. Well, I was going to say, almost anyone else would be a better fit than Patrick Madrid.
Well, I apologize. I didn't know. Okay.
But can I underscore this? We're not dependent on a single personality. I don't even like that word, personality.
No, I see what you're saying. I've always thought of it more like the Today Show, like people come and go, come in and go out, but it's still the Today Show.
The View.
They used to have a chimpanzee on the Today Show, the chimpanzee kid. Or The View. Yes, we're like The View from a Catholic perspective.
We're commenting on current events. We,
Yeah. I did want to get to the mailbag segment because we promised last time that... what? We promised last time that we would dump out the mail that we got, and we'd go through it. And I think it's time to go through the mail. You guys ready?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for joining me for the mailbag segment. We'll do it again next week, or next time we do Flannel Panel. We got no mail.
This is on you.
We got zero mail.
This is on you, listeners.
No, we did get one mail, but I couldn't understand it. It was so confusing. I couldn't understand it. But we set up an email address for you to write in, and we would share your thoughts, the issues that you wanted covered, your complaints about Chris or Joe, and the email address was flannelpanel@catholic.com, and one person used it, and that person
it wasn't clear what
is not is not a good communicator. Let me put it that
can
way.
Can I read it? Because no. This one is it maybe is an email for the ages.
I hope we're thinking of the same one. Go ahead.
Is it from Batman?
I didn't know about that one. Tell me.
Yeah, say the username is Batman Inc., which is already we're off to a great start.
Yes.
Because
okay.
What is meant? And it says it is just three lines. It almost looks like a haiku. Line one, Islam, the Islamic dilemma. Line two, Islam, the original Bible was lost/corrupted argument. Line three, Islam, Muhammad was a false prophet. What? So this.
That is like a haiku. Okay, so that writer, I missed this then. I didn't. Did David send that one to us?
This was in the mailbag. I think I understand what they were saying. It took me a little bit of deciphering.
They want us to talk about Islam.
Well, yeah, but specifically, like the Islamic dilemma, if I'm parsing this correctly, is the Quran speaks well of people of the book, Jews and Christians, for following some form of the original allegedly inspired books. And so they call them the Torah, which is clearly it's supposed to be the first five books of the Jewish Bible, but I think they use it to refer to the whole Jewish Bible because Muhammad doesn't know much about Judaism. And then it refers to something called the Injil of Jesus, like the Gospel of Jesus. And this has been the subject of a great deal of debate about what this means. I mean, the obvious sense is Muhammad thought Jesus wrote a gospel and he didn't. But if you say that, then you'd have to say, well, maybe this isn't inspired and Muhammad doesn't know what he's talking about and it's not really from God. So the two camps that Muslims will fall into are to say, Jesus must have written a gospel and Christians hid it, which is a little implausible that all the followers of Christ decided not to keep Jesus's gospel. This is also, by the way, why I don't find the idea of a Q source where there's some sayings of Jesus all compiled in a book that Christians decided not to keep.
Yeah, somebody checked it out of the Christian library and never brought it back.
Right. We should have made two
copies.
Oh,
man, why did we only have one copy of all the sayings of Jesus? All right.
Yeah, delinquent Thomas. Yeah. And then, because of that, you either have to say, well, then, you have to believe in this non-existent version of the Bible, or you have to say the Bible, at least in its core form, is divinely inspired, which is what the Quran seems to be pointing to. But if you take that, then that disproves Islam because you cannot harmonize the Old and New Testament with the purported revelations in Islam. So that then leads to the argument that the original Bible was lost or corrupted, or else that Muhammad was a false prophet. So I've worked all three lines together into a thought, which is what I think Batman Incorporated was wanting us to do.
Batman Incorporated, I hope that's what you I wanted us to do. I missed that we had that. Joe made something out of mailbag, and I thought we had nothing for mailbag. Good job, Joe. Silk purse.
Hey, I do what I can.
You made a silk purse.
You just really offended Batman there.
Oh, I did not.
Well, there's the other end of what the silk purse.
We don't have to go into all the details of every cliche that we use here. Mailbag's over then. I want to get to one other. I'll just tease it, and then we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and discuss it, because I don't know if I'm how upset I'm supposed to be about this. I feel like I'm being told by secular media that as a Christian, I'm supposed to have strong feelings about this, but I don't know. They're going to put on the play Jesus Christ Superstar for three nights at the Hollywood Bowl. Right, first of all, right there, Jesus Christ Superstar is being put on at the Hollywood Bowl. What are you expecting? Let's just say at the end of that phrase, my expectations are already low. So
I'm already baffled. This feels like we're just pulling random verbs and nouns out of a bag.
Here's the Huffington Post headline: Jesus Christ Superstar writers jumped to Cynthia Erivo's defense amid backlash over her casting because
she's in Wicked.
Cynthia Erivo, the star of the movie Wicked, is going to play Jesus. Let's take a quick break and we'll try to work ourselves up into a blind rage about this and comment that it will be come back on the other side.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? it looks like St. Paul Street Evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Mike Aquilina with a few words about St. Monica. Her son Augustine is one of the most influential thinkers in human history. Monica was uneducated, yet Augustine called himself her disciple. She taught him good sense, and she prayed him back to the faith after 17 years away.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Flannel Panel today. Chris Check is here, president of Catholic Answers. Joe Heschmeyer, author, apologist, speaker, podcaster. You should check out Joe's work at Shameless Popery.
Can I say something
Popery.
About podcasting?
Yes.
Which has nothing to do with Shameless Popery?
Yes.
Trent Horn, Council of Trent, 1,000 episodes.
Let's give a standing ovation to Trent Horn
yes.
for reaching 1,000 episodes.
And by the way,
and getting great press. And a special shout out to the AV guys behind the scenes.
Well,
like Thomas West.
Thomas West
and,
is amazing.
And Mike, Metal Mike.
Yep.
If you watch his episode today, you can see the shift in the quality of video and audio from when he started in like 2018 until now. And it's like going from watching an old talkie to watching a modern movie. I mean, it is a shocking shift. And the quality is so much easier to watch, so much easier to listen to. And yeah, it's an amazing feat what Trent has pulled off and what the people around him have helped him pull off.
You know, the thing about Trent, since we're just talking about Trent here, I'll just say this. I do think one of the things that people really have come to enjoy about Trent is his hair is never on fire. He's not a guy that's trying to out drama everybody or out end of the world everybody. He's so irenic in the way that he and intelligent in the way that he approaches
yeah.
faith and morals in his podcast and culture.
Yeah, let me say two things about that. One, I mean, part of that is Trent's disposition. He's not someone who's just going to fly off the handle. But I think some of that is also an in-house. You know, we have a little bit of a Catholic answer style, and we're not trying to cultivate drama and division and everything else for clicks. And we're leaving views and we're leaving, frankly, money on the table by not doing that. But I'm also increasingly convinced that even if you're not motivated by the love of Christ to operate with a more charitable style, in the long run, the people who go for the clicks and the division and everything else, it will burn itself out. You will
burn yourself out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not healthy.
Right. It's going to be very hard to do 1,000 episodes of just being mad all the time.
Right.
And
right.
eventually that shtick runs thin because people need something healthier. One or two outbursts is great. I enjoy it. It's cathartic. You want to have a good yell sometimes.
We're about to do it right now on the next story.
But I'm going to get super ginned up and fly off the handle. But, you know, the reality is you can't do that all day, every day. And it's totally unhealthy as a Christian to try to.
Yeah, congratulations, Trent. Congratulations on that and the wonderful success. And he's just a rare person. He's got this rare combination of skills, among them the ability to kind of master social media and grow that thing. I mean, that's not easy to do. That, a lot of people tried, and that's not easy to do. So good job, Trent. All right, I want to go back to that Huffington Post article because I almost sometimes see, I don't know if either, I'm going to throw this out there. It may be that neither of you ever feels this way. I almost sometimes feel like the media is trying to bait Christians into, it's like bear baiting. It's like,
the most accessible conspiracy theory of all time. Like, are people trying to gin up controversy for views?
Yeah, like, I mean,
like, yes.
Yeah, right. Like, they, like, what the reason that they're writing headlines like Jesus Christ superstar writer jumps to Cynthia Erivo's defense amid backlash over her casting is they want to see our heads explode. There's some
right.
weird impulse that they have to, this is called trolling. I've heard of this before. That's what this is trolling, right?
My one-year-old does this to me. He's learned to say, uh-oh, and so he'll go and just grab a power cord and pretend he's going to pull it out of the wall and say, uh-oh, and it just, it gets the whole family's attention, and you know, any attention's good attention.
Yeah.
And apparently some people are still at that kind of developmental stage, and we should be patient with them.
I think the time to have reacted to Jesus Christ Superstar was in 1971. Right,
I know when it was actually
Tim
relevant.
Rice and who's the big Andrew?
I don't know.
Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I don't know. There's Godspell and there's Jesus
Godspell
Christ Superstar.
Godspell was a little earlier.
I can't keep them straight. I don't know what.
It is an Andrew Lloyd Webber. I just looked it up. I thought it was.
God's,
the lyrics are by Tim Rice.
Yeah. By the way, both kind of conservative. Margaret Thatcher conservatives.
Now let me just ask you both this: is there any situation artistically where it would be acceptable for you for a black woman to play Jesus?
No.
No.
No, really?
I can't think of anything.
Is it because... okay, so why? Why would it
Because the masculinity of Christ is not an incidental characteristic. I mean, you could argue that his Jewishness is and isn't relevant, but not from an ethnic perspective. Like, it matters that he's of the house of David, but it doesn't matter about his skin color. It matters, you know, his lineage. It matters that he comes to a particular people who've been set aside. But the masculinity of Christ points to something about the nature of God. Not that God is a man, but that God is other from his creation. Benedict XVI talks about this, that goddess religions always seem to end up blurring the line between creator and creation. So you've got Gaia, Mother Earth, all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, the Pachamama. Moon goddess, all this, like... It's all nature religion because there's something very feminine about nature. It's receptive. It's you know, comforting. It's all of these things that we associate with our moms and with femininity. In contrast, the role of the male, you know, even the imagery of seed and fertility points to an otherness. Like, the sower is different from the field. And so God's relationship to the world is more like a sower than it is like the field. And so the masculinity in terms of that imagery and the particular masculinity of Christ are telling us something about the otherness of God, his transcendence, and they're helping us avoid what's called pantheism, you know, the notion that the universe is divine, or a kind of earth worship. But then the other dimension to it is Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. And so something is being told to us that's really important, that you don't find God, he finds you. And even when you think you're finding God, it's because he's already placed that drive within you. That, you know, I heard an Eastern Orthodox priest one time, and I think he got this from a Jewish rabbi. He just said the whole story of the Bible from the original break in Genesis is the story of God's search for man.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, inversions where it makes you really think. And it's a beautiful kind of description. The Christ as bridegroom chasing after, pursuing and wooing his people, the bride. It captures that. So getting rid of all of that for the sake of 2025 politics is such a tragic loss. Like, it really sacrifices this true, rich theological depth given to us by God at the altar of, you know, scandal, conventional mores, controversy, whatever you want to say. And that's an incalculable loss.
Did you want to add anything to that?
How could you? That was brilliant, Joe.
Yeah. But but it was entirely focused on the femininity of the performer, not on the race of the performer.
No, because, you know, Christ, he comes for all nations. And so if you look at Marian apparitions, if you look even at the way Christ is depicted in art, it's completely fine to depict him in your native culture and place. Everything from the skin tone to the style of dress. I mean, historically, you look at Ethiopian art, he looks Ethiopian. You look at Italian art, he looks Italian.
Right.
And it's not that people literally thought he looked just like them, but they were recognizing that he came for them and not just, you know, in the first century to some other people.
There's an artist who did work for our calendar this year, the Catholic Answers calendar, which is all original living Catholic artists, who I'm very fond of. His name is Daniel Mitsui, and I think he's all or half Japanese. I'm not sure. I've never met him, but I love his work.
Oh, yeah. His work is amazing.
It's amazing. But if you go to his website, Daniel Mitsui, he has an image of Our Mother Perpetual Help that is, you know, very traditional and obviously Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's stunning. It's beautiful.
Right. So, Yeah, I do think this is sometimes part of the strategy of trying to troll people is mixing a lot of things together and then accusing people of things that are irrelevant. I'm not convinced, and I can't make an articulate case for this. So bear with me for a second, that there could never be a situation where an artist couldn't do it. I mean, like, artists are very complex and they can do all kinds of twists and turns. And so, you know, like in Shakespeare's time, the men played women. So could a woman play a man? That where I'm not convinced that there's not some artist that couldn't do it. So
I don't have a problem with the idea of a woman playing a man or vice versa in a particular role. Like I think in the case of presentations of Jesus specifically, there's something sort of iconographic about even an actor playing Christ, that you're to see in them not the actor, but Christ. Like, you know, anytime I watch a Tom Hanks movie, I only see Tom Hanks. Even though he does the characters brilliantly, it's like, oh, now Tom Hanks is in the 40s.
Yeah.
Because he's so clearly himself, even as he adopts all these very dynamic kind of roles. And so one of the dangers with the presentation of Christ is you don't want to see the actor. You want to see through the actor to our Lord. And so someone doing something provocative that draws attention to the choice of actor or actress is actually doing the opposite of what I think a good presentation of Christ should do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just have the sense that that art can be quite surprising, what an artist can pull off. And I wouldn't be too quick to say it absolutely can't be done. Although I don't deny anything that you said.
It's sure.
And I realize I'm being inarticulate about this, but you know, like,
I think it's a you're being a little bit conservative in a way. You're saying there may be some situation we haven't thought of, which I think is completely reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. And I would be interested to see this. I mean,
I can imagine a situation where women were in a prison or something like that, and they wanted to put on a play or something like that, and a male actor wasn't available.
And
something like that potentially could make sense.
Right. Or she's the voice of a cartoon. Or, you know, I'm just, there are all kinds of different ways people make
art. Yeah, okay. I guess if we want to take this, in Prince of Egypt, they wanted to avoid getting bogged down into debates about who got to play the voice of God. So when you hear God speaking, it's the entire ensemble speaking together.
Oh, wow. That's kind of clever.
It is very clever.
You know, clever.
And it works very effectively. So something like that where, you know, they're not trying to make some sort of political point. They're actually seeming to sidestep it is a very, I think, I would be fine with that, you know, because there you're not trying to make a false theological kind of point for politics.
In the Cecil B. DeMille picture, you know, who is the voice of God?
No. Who is?
It's Charlton Heston.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went to DeMille and said, I think I should do God's voice.
Well, Morgan Freeman wasn't available? Well, he's still a baby at the time.
Yeah, so that's Charlton Heston.
Oh, isn't that something?
It's completely believable, by the way.
Apropos of nothing, but it reminds me of Gibson's choice of using his own hands as the Roman soldier.
Yeah.
I think that's why
there's a bit of a difference between saying, I should represent the guy who killed Jesus and I should really play God.
Well, Heston had a healthy self-confidence. Yeah, he had a healthy self-confidence. One thing we haven't done for a long time is I haven't brought in any National Public Radio audio for the two of you. So I want to tease right now that the second hour, a large part of it is going to be responding to National Public Radio audio, because National Public Radio has a program that Terry Gross used to do. Do you remember when Terry Gross used to
Fresh
do
Air.
Fresh Air? And now Dave Davies does it, who used to be her number two. And at least that's the way I understand it. And so
I didn't even realize there'd been it's been so long since I've heard Fresh Air that I didn't realize they'd made the switch.
Yeah, at least that's my understanding of how it all went down. And so Fresh Air, the most, I mean, really secular. I mean, it's a kind of a typical kind of secularism it represents.
Very long-suffering, Terry Gross?
Yeah. And it's kind of pseudo-intellectualism. Interviewed a guy who wrote a book about the last seven popes. And the guy who wrote the book is a New York Times reporter. So NPR interviewing a New York Times reporter about the Catholic Church. Are you kidding
Anyone
me?
Anyone listening, Sai has been so excited to share this.
I couldn't resist. I listened to that hour over and over. It's just so good. So I've got some audio from that I'll play for you the second hour. It's Flannel Panel. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest apologist. And check him out at shamelessjoe.com, or just put in shameless potpourri to your machine and find out what Joe is up to. Also, just wonderful podcast. Chris Check is president of Catholic Answers. I am also wearing a flannel shirt, and that qualifies me to be here with them. We'll continue right after this on Catholic Answers Live.